بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، ما بعد، فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. هذا بصائر للناس وهدى ورحمة لقوم يوقنون. صدق الله العظيم. Before we continued tonight's majlis with the further karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will briefly mention a few important points that Hazrat Maulana Masihullah Rahmatullahi Alayhi had mentioned regarding Islah. In one of his kitab, the name is Hayatul Salik, he had mentioned some preconditions that are necessary for the Islah of one's character. In that he writes, the conditions to be observed by a talib-e-islah. Talib means one who is seeking, a seeker. Islah means reformation. So a talib, person who is seeking islah, there are certain conditions that he has to meet before his islah can take place. The very first condition he has mentioned is ikhlas. So right at the very beginning, the talib, the seeker of islah, reformation, he has to be sincere. He has to be genuine. He has to be sincere that he wants his islah to take place. Then he says the person wants islah to take place, he's got a genuine niyat. The very next thing he should do is make sincere tawbah. And he begins the tawbah by making two rakat, salatul tawbah. Two rakat nafil, salatul tawbah. And after the salat at-tawbah, recite one tasbih of istighfar, and thereafter he should lift his hands and repent from the bottom of his heart. Make sincere tawbah for his past sins, and he must abandon all those sins. He must feel the nadamat, regret, shame, remorse for having committed all those sins, and he must make a firm pledge and promise that he will never go back to those sins. So this is the process of the tawbah which is required in the initial process of islah. First we said his niyat has to be correct, then he'll perform two rakat salat at-tawbah, then he will make sincere tawbah, he will make dua to Allah Ta'ala, and he will make tawbah and istighfar. Then he says if a person has any outstanding namaz, qaza namaz, or fasting, or rozas that he had missed, and they have become qaza in his life. Perhaps years in his life, when he had become baligh, and he had missed out some rozas, he did not keep those rozas, he was in a state of ghaflat, jahalat, or had missed out years of salat, then all those qazas have to be made up. So if you have missed any namaz or roza that are qaza, take proper care to perform these. And we have mentioned previously, the rozas are easy to keep, but the salat, then with every namaz, try and make up for one namaz that the person had missed in his life. If you have any material rights of others, you have taken away the rights of any person's haqq, you took away some property of his, some belonging, some money, then you have to make sure that you give this person back his possession, the property which you have taken away. So whether it is some financial, some money of the person, or some object, whatever it is, you have to give it back to that person. And if you make amends, asking for forgiveness, if you don't have the means, then asking for forgiveness. So one is huququllah, we have to make up for the qaza namazes and the fasting. Then huququl ibad, if we have taken away any person's right, then we go back and give him back his right. If you have overstepped the limits with any person, either verbally or physically, if you have overstepped the limits with anybody, then go and ask the person to be forgiven. You'll ask forgiveness from that person. Then he says, observe caution in the matter of association with others. So discussing now the process of islah, Many times we see our Islah is not taking place because we haven't met these preconditions. The very first one I said was intention. The person has to be genuine, sincere. I 100% want my Islah to take place. Then the second one was, he must read two rakat Tawbah namaz, followed by sincere dua, Tawbah, istighfar, and fulfill outstanding qaza namaz and rozas, which have become qaza. He has not done that in his life, he missed out, so now he must finish all those qaza. And people's rights, he must give back them their rights. If he hurt somebody physically, verbally, ask them for forgiveness. Then his group, his friends, who he associates with, this is very, very important. The man wants to make Islah, makes Tawbah, Istighfar, and perhaps he has got some connection with some sheikh, and he may be attending some program of the sheikh, but still his company is not good. And those friends of his will still lure him and entice him towards haram. So now he has to be very cautious. He has used a lot of wisdom and hikmat and break away from those friends, or he should try and encourage them also to begin their Islah. But if he is unable to do that and he is going to become attracted to their bad company and evil company, then that's going to be harmful to his Islah process, and he should break away in a nice way and disassociate himself from them. Then he says, the ninth one is, have complete faith and confidence, i'tiqad, i'timad, and be punctual and regular in informing your mentor of your state and problems, and carrying out his instructions, ittila and ittiba. And this is something that most people fail in. So we say we want Islah to take place, and probably we did the other conditions, we made tawbah, istighfar, but when it comes to being punctual and informing, it's not only when a person has some problem at home, then he writes to the sheikh, or he's got some financial problem, then he goes to the sheikh. That means we haven't got the sheikh for Islah. We've got it for, we use him for consulting, for other problems that we have. And fair enough, you ask any alim for any guidance. But we're talking now about the Islah process. So this is something that we don't go, and there is never ittila, there is no correspondence, we're not saying, explaining to him clearly our weaknesses. If a person is involved in zina, then he must explain, so that he can come out of this problem. If he's involved in watching, viewing pornographic material, and he is involved in this haram, this filthy habit, then he must explain to the sheikh. The sheikh doesn't have any ilmul ghaib, that suddenly he just knows nothing that. So until all these things do not happen, and I told me many times, that people are very fond of only praising the sheikh's bayans. And Hazrat, mashallah, Hazrat, Hazrat, Hazrat. I mentioned to my students the other day, Allah forgive me, I'm not picking on any person, I'm very straight in these matters, because I'm answerable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If others are not talking about it, that is their problem. But this has become the zamana of Hazrat. Everybody is Hazrat, Hazrat, Hazrat. And we forgot Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have forgotten our goal. We are making Islah so that we may please our Allah. So many times we may see that the Hazrat, mashallah, and we praise him, and maybe give him some gifts, whatever it is, but we are not understanding and realizing that we are supposed to be, mashallah, making use of his guidance to seek the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So outwardly we profess our love and muhabbat for the sheikh, whoever he may be, but we are not genuine and sincere in rectifying our weaknesses. And that is why I mentioned, in my case especially, we are still standing in the same spot. Years will go by, and spiritually we have not progressed. Spiritually we have not progressed. We still feel low. We still feel there's no connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't enjoy the sweetness of iman. We don't enjoy our ita'at of Allah. We don't enjoy the tilawat and dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't enjoy the ibadat of Allah. There is no istildad of ta'at. Why? We haven't fulfilled these important conditions. But when we write to the sheikh and sit and ask him for sincere guidance, that this is what I'm doing. I've got a problem at home that I'm unable to control my anger. I've got a problem, a tendency of making ghibat of people. Or I cheat my customers and I deceive them. You see, we are more concerned that the Sheikh must think very good about. And we must be in his so-called good books. My respected brothers and elders and our sisters, we have lost the road then to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we have got fear of makhluk, not fear of Allah. I may be sounding a bit harsh, but this is the true reality. And we can see around ourselves, our lives, that we still don't feel that nearness, the proximity to Allah ta'ala. Why? Hazrat Ji Rahmatullahi, I will read exactly what he is saying. He says after that, be conscious of ikhlas and sidq, sincerity, and to be genuine and honest in every action and when you are informing your mentor. I'm reading word to word what he is saying. You must be genuine. You must be sincere when you are writing to him. So we don't write half the stories and just praise him, or write the good things that we are doing. Hazrat, mashallah, I went for Umrah, I made one tawaf for you. Oh, I did this, I did that. What about our weaknesses? How are they going to be removed? Then he says, unless there is a very great need, observe silence. And make seclusion something to be loved. Then of course he mentioned about, especially the men, should not have very close contact with those who are amrat, beardless youth, because that also becomes a problem. And of course, there shouldn't be any intermingling of sexes, etc. You know, workplaces, we should be very careful of all those things. Hazrat Ji Ramallah Masjid Ram writes, point number 9, which I mentioned, he says, communicating with one's sheikh cannot be overemphasized. Progress is dependent on this, yet it is most neglected. It must be emphasized again that these kitabs that we have written are not meant to be a substitute for a mentor. Direct communication with a spiritual guide is still essential. So these are the important points of Islam. For those of us, just to refresh on ourselves, the very first thing, if a person wants to make Islam of himself, he wants to have a pure, clean heart, and then the very first thing he must rectify, or he must have a correct intention. He must be sincere, genuine in his intention, that I want my Islah to take place. Then he makes Tawbah, 2 rakat, Tawbah namaz, raises his hand after that, cry and repent over the sins of the past, abandon those sins, promise Allah you will not go back to those sins. This is the process of Tawbah now, which is part of the Islah process. Then of course you fulfill Hukukullah, and of the past, the qazas we make up for, the namaz that we missed when we were baligh and we didn't perform, or any rozas if we had missed. Then, as far as people's rights are concerned, make sure we fulfill their rights. And if you have usurped any person's rights, we make amends. Give back that property, give back that wealth. If you have physically, verbally abused any person, ask the person for forgiveness. Then we have to have faith in that person in whose hands we have given ourselves to guide us. And if you feel there is no munasabah, then change your mentor. Change your sheikh. There has to be that munasabah. The sheikh also has to have munasabah. So when you just say, I'm bad to a certain buzruk, mashallah, and everybody says, oh, you bad to that person, mashallah, what a great wali he is. That means nothing. You have to have i'tiqad, i'timad, confidence, place your confidence and trust that this person, like how we have a doctor, when we are sick, then we know this person, he is a good doctor, and he is going to benefit me. Then in a similar way, we take a person who we feel that he is going to guide me, and then you have to have this communication process. Otherwise, Islam will not take place. And when you communicate with your sheikh, of course, he'll have some rules, some regulations. You can't just keep on writing all day, dozens of letters and WhatsApp, and it's impossible, he's a human being. There are times, there are rules. But we have to write to the person and explain to him our weaknesses, more than anything else, so that the process of Islah takes place. Again, if you are sincere, Allah Ta'ala will guide us. May Allah Ta'ala help us to make real, genuine Islah of ourselves. Should not happen, it becomes a rasam. It just becomes a practice, a custom, everybody. The people taking bath, or some buzur comes and suddenly you see people taking bath and he also put his hand not even knowing what's happening. No. Therefore, when any person wants to take bath, the person tells him, first you go and check other mashayikh, other people. See who you have this munasabat with. And why do you want to take this bath? What is your many times a person has some financial problem. And if he is now, if I take bath, then all that becomes right. No. If you look at the problems of the heart, the spiritual problems of the heart, the pride that we have, the anger, the enmity, the love of dunya, love of haram woman, those pleasures that we have, which are haram, the nafs that is killing us, all those things have to be rectified. May Allah Ta'ala help me to make my Islam and all of us, our Islam will be taken place correctly so that we may get the qurb of Allah Rabbul Izzat. As the Jiram Adhan explained in his majlis, he starts with nafs. He says, for talib haqq, the one who is seeking truth. There are three important steps now mentioned. He says, the very first step is called basirat. Basirat means the person has understanding, clear understanding. He has a keen insight into something. The understanding, in Arabic, faham, in the talibi haqq, gets rectified first. So, talibi haqq, one who is seeking the truth, the very first thing that will happen to him is that he will gain basirat, means he will get a more clear understanding. So, in that person who is really seeking the truth with complete sincerity, as I mentioned, Haq Ta'ala says, the first and most important event to take place is that his understanding becomes clear. His understanding of deen becomes clear. His understanding of iman, the injunctions of iman becomes clear. The understanding of his life becomes clear. The understanding of his problems become clear to him. If this does not happen, that is, he does not develop clear understanding, then in the true sense of the word, he is not a seeker of haqq. Thus, this clarity of understanding is a sign, a proof, a witness, and it stands as evidence. This clarity of understanding is spoken of in the Quran. Allah Ta'ala says, هَذَا بَصَائِرُ لِلنَّاسِ. This Quran, this kitab, which we have revealed, whoever reads it, listens to it, with understanding, with talab of haqq, seeking haqq, then this person develops in him basirat. The word basura in Arabic means to see. Here we're not talking about the physical eyes being able to see, we're talking about the spiritual eyes of the heart. And that means he begins to understand clearly things which were confusing to him. He didn't understand. Now all those things begin to open up to him. He's treading this path and now he's seeing some light. So this is then manifested as rectification of understanding. His faham, his understanding now becomes clear. With this rectification of his thinking and understanding, previously he should think something totally, no, why do you have to perform this? Why do you have to do this? He could not understand different aspects of sunnah. He feel, why should we eat with our fingers? Let's use a spoon, fork and knife. Why should we sit down? And various things he would not understand. Now, because he is seeking the truth, he is sincere, genuine, Allah Ta'ala will give him now more and more understanding. Will become more and more clear to him. So with this rectification of his thinking and understanding, steadily, he's progressing steadily, his heart starts to accept and also to act according to the laws of Sharia. Previously there was no namaz. Now he understands the importance of namaz, farad namaz, with jamaat. So now he begins, his heart accepts it. This stage is called hidayat. So, basirat, first was understanding. هَذَا بَصَائِرُ لِلنَّاسِ وَهُدًا. Now he gets hidayat. As Mawlana Rahmatullah explains. So this person, he said, now this stage is called hidayat. Methodology for this hidayat, in the context of deeds, a'mal appears in him. Quran Sharif explains this word, hudan, that is hidayat. So if this person doesn't get hidayat, in other words, he does not now bring this into actions. He's got some he wants to seek the right way, he wants some islah, but he finds there's no hidayat coming in his life. He's not getting the tawfiq, the ability to do those good things. As he says, then if he has not established within himself the obedience of the orders of Sharia. Allah said, perform salat, give zakat, go for hajj, whatever commands Allah has given. If he finds that he is not bringing this in his life, then it is obvious he has not even attained the first step, that is basirat, clear understanding. That means understanding is still not clear. So the very first step is that clear understanding comes into the person. And when this clear understanding comes, then he will get hidayat. Then he will bring all those things that he understood, and so clearly in the Quran, in the Sunnah, he'll bring that in his life. Hazrat Ji Ramad says, the next step is qurb and qabuliyat. However, if both these steps, basirat and hidayat, have developed, he's got clear understanding, now mashallah, he's bringing that into his life, in amal, now the fruits will be seen. He'll see the fruits of that clear understanding and hidayat. What is the fruits of all this? The fruits are qurb and qabuliyat, closeness to Allah subhanahu. He'll feel that closeness to Allah ta'ala, that qurb, qurb ilahi. He'll feel, oh Allah ta'ala will now make him maqbool. He'll see some maqbooliyat. The Quran Sharif has termed this qurb and qabuliyat as rahmat. Hadha basairu linnas wa hudaw wa rahmah. So rahmat is the fruits of basirat, which means clear understanding, and it is the fruit of hidayat, which means guidance, and now the person has got the ability, or Allah has given him the tawfiq of bringing all those things that he read and learned about and heard about into his life. So initially there was basirat, then was hidayat, and now we get the fruits of it, which is rahmat, mercy of Allah. What is the mercy of Allah? He's feeling the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala accepts him. So obviously when clarity of understanding enters, and it results in development of hidayat, when these two priceless gems have been attained, then why should Allah Ta'ala's special rahmat not be focused on him? So he was sincere, he got clear understanding, he started bringing this into his life, so Allah Ta'ala will now shower his mercy upon him, Allah's special mercy will be focused upon him, Allah will give him qurb. It is Haq Ta'ala who has stated these fruits, the net result of attaining the first two stages. And what is the net result? What is the fruit? Rahmat. In other words, Allah Ta'ala is saying that this person will gain my qurb when he has got basirat and he has got hidayat. Hazrat Ji Ramadan explains the same thing, he expounds on it, which we have explained now. He says, again, basirat has appeared, clarity of understanding comes, ignorance disappears. Previously the person was jahil, he didn't understand so many things. He didn't understand the importance of giving zakat. He didn't understand the importance of making qurbani. But now he understands all those things. So now, hidayat becomes manifest in him. He begins to make amal on all these things. When this happens, now he is getting the mercy of Allah. And now he is walking on sirat-e-mustaqim. Let us pause. As the Jiram says, ponder. Know yourself. Question yourself. As we are seated here and as we are listening, our mothers and sisters at home, has the correct hidayat come into me or not? Each one of us know. Has the correct hidayat come into my life, yes or no? As I explained the whole thing now, basirat, then hidayat. So am I bringing into amal things which have become manifest, or are things still not manifest to me and clear to me? Am I still living in ignorance and jahalat? Talib-e-haq, talib-e-tazkiyah. We talk about tasawuf, we talk about tazkiyah. We talk about islah. Talib, a seeker of islah, tazkiyah, haq. When he obviously has ikhlas, sincerity in him, he has compulsorily to appraise himself, to judge himself, to assess himself. Make your own check of yourself genuinely. Ask himself continuously, what is the state? What is the quality of my nafs? What is the position? What is the stage of my nafs? Hazrat Ji Ramadan mentions then the three stages of nafs, which we have mentioned. We have explained many occasions. There are three stages of the nafs. The very first one is ammara bisu, where the nafs just commands the person, entices the person, commands him with evil, 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 sins, vice, all the time. Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءٍ. That verily the nafs ammara incites to evil. That's the first type of nafs. Then there is a second stage of the nafs, where وَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِالنَّفْسِ اللَّوَّامَةِ. The second type, and then Allah Ta'ala takes a qasam. He says, I swear by the reproaching soul, where the soul is now scolding him, rebuking him. Why are you going towards haram? Why are you enjoying the sin? This is the second type. Still we haven't reached our goal. And then is the third and final stage. And this is what Allah Ta'ala wants our nafs to develop into. And that's called, Ya ayyatuha nafsul mutma'inna. So we are first, ammara. Where we are command, this nafs commands us, incites us towards evil. And then when a person is making islah, then he reaches the second stage, that is lawwama, where his nafs begins to rebuke him. That, why are you casting lustful glances at that woman? Don't you know this is haram? So he's rebuking, but still he hasn't reached the final stage, which is mutma'inna, where Allah Ta'ala says, O soul that has attained tranquility. May Allah Ta'ala give all of us nafs mutma'inna. This is what we are trying in the process of islah to reach. That this heart must reach that. The nafs must reach that stage. We talk about killing the nafs and destroying the nafs and shaitan. We're talking nafs ammara, not mutma'inna. So these are the three times, three conditions of nafs. Nafs ammara, try and learn it. Nafs ammara, then lawwama and mutma'inna. As we said now, talib haqq develops, firstly, clarity of understanding, basirat. With this newfound understanding, Talib haqq ponders and says to himself, Allah Ta'ala has mentioned three stages of nafs. Therefore, I should now assess myself. Let me check myself. Let me understand. Let me recognize what type of nafs do I have. What type of nafs do I possess? Do I possess nafsi ammara? Do I possess nafsi lawwama? Or have I attained nafsi mutma'inna? So this process of introspection begins. He begins to check himself. We talk about soul searching. This is exactly the same thing. He's introspecting himself. This process is the natural outcome and demand of what? The basirat that has developed in him. Clear understanding. Hidayat is coming to him. He'll find there'll be some type of turmoil in him, within himself. Some restlessness, anxiety. Previously, when he did not tread this path, when he did not have any fahm and understanding, no basirat, and no hidayat, nothing. He was just living a life of sin. And he was enjoying that type of life. But when basirat came to him, he began to understand the injunctions of Allah. What Allah is asking, demanding of me. Now, when he is sincere, then hidayat is coming. The moment hidayat begins to come into him, he experiences some restlessness. Why? Because he wants to please Allah. He does not want to do anything that will displease Allah. But now he has to make sure that his nafsi ammara becomes lawwama and then mutma'inna. So talib haqq, he will now check himself and question himself. What is, which category do I fall in? What is the condition of my nafs? What is the state of my nafs? So one has to recognize, and this process of questioning, introspection begins. Hazrat Ramadan explains more detail again what nafsi ammara bisu, how the nafs commands a person towards haram, to listen to music, etc. And then the stage of nafse lawwama, where a change is noticed. And alhamdulillah, many times when we are sincere and we are treading the path of tazkiyah, then as we are moving, then we reach the stage of lawwama, where we find some change in our life. And previously a person, he so easily just cast a lustful glance at any woman. Now he begins to restrain himself out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala has made it haram. So now he begins to pull back. So he is now drawn towards good, and he begins to shun that which is evil. Whenever his tabiat agitates and incites him into doing something wrong or evil, then that basira, that understanding, and that he, that begins to come into play, and he begins to scold himself, he begins to reproach himself, he begins to check his nafs, and now he, within himself, he is now feeling more reprehensible. Within himself, he rebukes himself. What a shameful thing. What a dishonorable act. How can you behave in this manner? Where is your iman? Where is your belief? Where is your knowledge? O mu'min, based on your iman, don't you know Allah Ta'ala is hadir and nadir? Allah is present, all present. Allah is omnipresent. Allah is all watching. So how can you stoop so low? When Allah is watching you, how can you indulge in that particular haram deed? So see this process of lawwama. He begins to reproach himself. Basirat has come. Now the process of hidayat is coming into him. He's getting tawfiq of making amal of what clear understanding he has received now. So he's proceeding along the road of hidayat. The ammariyat of his nafs, where the nafs is commanding him towards evil, is now departing. It's moving away. And what's coming into him? Lawamiyat, where he's rebuking himself. This process continues. The basirat of this believer now increases. So basirat increases more and more, inclined towards more good. Previously he had no namaz, now namaz came into his life. Now as namaz comes into his life, he says, no, I must grow a beard also. So then the beard also starts, mashallah. Topi comes in his life. Now he begins to behave more, or he's more well behaved now at home with his parents, with his wife, with his children. There's the inclination towards good. Involvement in evil causes his tabiat to reproach himself. And he begins to reproach himself more severely. He's all the time preoccupied with this thought. What nafs is the nafs that is the objective of Allah Ta'ala? What does Allah want from me? Nafsi abmara, lawama? No. Allah wants mutma'inna. So let me continue. This is the demand of that basirat that he has attained. He's got basirat. Hidayat is coming to him. This is all, when we talk about taqwa, he's refraining from evil. Now he's making mujahada. He's fighting himself. This is when that noor is now going to come more and more into his heart. It must not happen from my lips that any words of evil come out. So this person now becomes concerned about his actions, whether it is verbal, whether it is some physical actions. He's now more concerned and he has his consciousness. As Ramazan explains, he says, sometimes happens that this openness that should have been present in his disposition is just not there. Doing good is still burdensome. You see, he's got ammara, he's past that stage where the nafs is commanding toward evil. Now the nafs is rebuking him. So he's going through this process, but this also is a very crucial stage in this person's life. He has to develop into mutma'inna, where he must not feel doing good being burdensome upon him. It's a very fine line. He's doing good deeds, he's growing a beard, but mustn't feel it's so difficult to grow a beard. To lift, put my trousers above the ankles. He's doing it, but he's doing it, finding it burdensome. So still, you can see, he still needs a lot of islah in his life. He gives an example. Allah save us. Allah protect all of us. He says, there was a certain Maulvi Saab staying in Makkah Mukarrama. He used to reside there. Fell ill, passed away, buried in Jannatul Mu'alla. He says, those going for Hajj, those days usually should go for Ziyarat and very easily go into Jannatul Mu'alla. He says, nowadays there's some type of restrictions, but alhamdulillah, we can still go there. But perhaps not so open like how it was previously. Nonetheless, group of hajis proceeded and they stopped at a certain grave to recite some dua. When the thin top covering of the grave suddenly caved in, revealing the body lying inside. Looking into the grave, what did the people see? To the utter amazement, lying inside, they saw the body of a young Christian lady. Somebody had recognized this lady. She was not from Makkah. She was a Christian girl. What is this? No non-Muslims are even allowed to enter Makkah Mukarramah. For them to stay there is forbidden. Never heard of such a thing. How could this Christian girl be buried here? In this group of Hajis was present also a certain alim who was looking into this grave and he recognized this body. He said, this girl is from France. Hazrat Ramadan says, this alim continued, he said, this girl is from France and I used to teach her at one stage of my life when I used to be there. So I know her. And she had secretly become a Muslim. And she passed away in France. And this alim says, she passed away in my presence. And she was subsequently buried there in France. But he also couldn't understand how her body now appears in Jannatul Mu'alla. On hearing this, some of the onlookers spoke up. They say, but this grave was of a certain alim. He was buried here. Are you telling us that this girl passed away in France? She's buried there. Body comes away now here. They couldn't understand this. So they began to investigate the matter. This group proceeded to the house of this alim who was buried there. He used to live in Makkah and he passed away. So one person goes, knocks on the door. And the widow of this alim, she comes to the door. So he asks, your husband, can you tell us something about him? She replied, very good man, mashallah, he kept his beard, read namaz, roza, everything. The person inquired further. Is there anything unusual about him? So she became worried. She said, why are you asking? So he tried to reassure her. He said, no, nothing, just finding out a bit more about your husband. So then she began to explain. And she began to think deeply. After some thought, she spoke. She said, yes, one weakness he had, one thing comes to my mind. Whenever he was in need of a fard ghusl, after janabat, after intercourse, then my husband definitely, he should take his ghusl, proper ghusl he would make. So he performed his ghusl, which is a good deed. However, at that time, he used to comment. And he should say, if Islam did not have this one order of making ghusl after janabat, it would have been so easy and such a good thing. You see, he regarded this good deed to be burdensome upon him. He was practicing upon it. But he regarded this to be burdensome upon him. Now we may think it's such an easy thing to have a ghusl. But so many other actions we may be doing, which we regard also as burdensome upon ourselves. Hazrat, you see, are you listening? Making ghusl after janabat is a good deed, which merits sawab. However, in his heart, he harbored disapproval. His deed is one of ibadat, but without true, genuine taqwa. On the other hand, this Christian girl, who as her ustad had reported, secretly brought iman, she passed away there. Allah Ta'ala took her body from Darul Kufar, from France, transported right to Makkah Mukarramah. That is the Qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. The Maulvi Sahib was buried in ground of Makkah Mukarramah. His body went into that Qabristan, Allah protect us, where this girl was buried in France. Do you now recognize what is Basirat? Do you understand what is clear understanding? Do you understand what is to be Talib-e-Haq? And also what is opposite of Talib-e-Haq? Because the first thing to happen to Talib-e-Haq is that his understanding becomes clear. He develops basirat. Whereas over here, there was no basirat. Who was he? An alim, a Maulvi Sahib. Despite doing a good deed, still there was some evil that lurked in him. This deed was performed, but with having this notion of being burdensome upon him. Hazrat Wala Ramadullah gives some other examples also. Then he mentioned another example of another alim, punctual with salat, rozas, and a pious person sees him in his dream after this alim passed away, but suffering some azab, some punishment. He was astonished. He said, how is it that you are going through this azab? What has brought this upon you? So this alim explained. He says, it used to happen in India especially, the day of Holi. where there is a festival of colors celebrated by the Hindus. On this day, the mushrikeen, they threw coloring on one another. So he continued, it was on that day of Holi, I had a meal and I was chewing some paan. I left home to go somewhere. While walking along, I came across the donkey. So I looked at the donkey, I addressed the donkey, poor animal, has nobody thrown any coloring on you? Come, let me color you. So saying that, I spat some paan stained spittle on him. The saliva, the paan red, I spat it on him. The red spittle making a vivid red splash on its body. He says, after my mouth, when my turn came to stand in front of Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala said, because you had imitated an action of the mushrikeen, then now you will go through some azab and punishment. May Allah Ta'ala protect us. May Allah Ta'ala save us. See, there are so many things. And that is why we should make dua tonight. May Allah, you grant us basirat. Say Ameen. Allah, you grant us basirat. Allah, give us hidayat. True hidayat. With taqwa. Ya Allah, then you shower us with your rahmat. هَذَا بَصَائِرُ لِلنَّاسِ وَهُدَوْ وَرَحْمَةِ Khair, Azharji then explains the different types of the whole process of Islam and how after Ammara a person goes to Lawwama, but that's not the final stage, the stage of Nafs Mutma'inna the person has to reach. So he says, that person who now steadily reproaches himself, and he continues to walk on this path with ibadat, obedience, he's got hidayat. He reaches a stage where he develops such a disgust for sins. And he has such hatred for sins like how any person would hate najasat, napaki. It is some urine, no person would go near it. So he hates sins like how he hates any napaki. He also now has developed such an attachment of his ibadat with Allah Ta'ala. He never regards it as burdensome. He begins to enjoy his ibadat and if he makes any long rakat and he is able to make his hajj and give zakat and give sadaqah and do all good deeds with happiness. Never regards it to be burdensome. In fact, if some nafil deed has been missed out because of some reason, he wasn't well or because he got late or he woke up late for tahajjud and he missed his tahajjud, the entire day he'll feel miserable. Miserable. Something which was optional, not farz. If he missed that out, every day he was giving this one poor person some food and that particularly by the time he reached, the man was gone. It causes him such pain. See his condition now? He has made great progress. That now he begins to hate sin, disgust. He frowns upon sin. He hates guna. And he begins to love the ita'at of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not to mention obedience in matters which are fard and wajib. He has a passion for nafil even. And such that even if his eyes do not open on a ghairi ikhtiyari basis, and if you have to miss the hajjud, he feels that grief. So this, with ibadat, ta'at of Allah Ta'ala, he begins to develop good qualities himself. Sabr, happiness with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, rida bil qada. All these things becomes part of his nature. Good akhlaq comes into his life. So these were the signs now of nafs mutma'inna. He has developed such a forceful attraction and passion for ibadat and ta'at that now he begins to have qualities of tahammul, sabr, and all these good things. Now he is concerned that his tongue must be moist with the dhikr of Allah Ta'ala all the time. His action will be in obedience to, in accordance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's injunctions. Now he has reached the level of mutma'inna. And then he passes away in this condition. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this nafs mutma'inna our goal and Allah make us achieve it. How do we achieve nafs mutma'inna? We have clear understanding of what Allah Ta'ala wants from us. Then we get hidayat, tawfiq of doing those things. So we will reproach our nafs and then go beyond the stage. Don't ever regard any action of deen to be burdensome. Go beyond that. There will always be this battle with nafs. Nafs will pull us towards evil. We're going to go overcome it, fight. If you slip, we tawbah, istighfar, cry, beg to Allah Ta'ala. Again, those important conditions we mentioned of Islam. Then we will find rahmat of Allah Ta'ala comes. When Allah's rahmat comes, the floodgates of Allah's mercy we always have heard of and we talk about, then we will enjoy that sweetness of our ibadah, sweetness of our iman. We will feel the closeness with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.